First Chronicles 19 through 21. Now it came about after this that Nahash, the king of the sons of Ammon, died, and his son became king in his place. Then David said, I will show kindness to Hanun, the son of Nahash, because his father showed kindness to me. So David sent messengers to console him concerning his father. And David's servants came into the land of the sons of Ammon to Hanun to console him. But the commanders among the sons of Ammon said to Hanun, Do you think that David is honoring your father, and that he has sent comforters to you? Have his servants not come to you to search, to demolish, and to spy out the land? So Hanun took David's servants and shaved them, and cut off their robes in the middle as far as their buttocks, and sent them away. Then certain people went and told David about the men. He sent messengers to meet them because the men were very humiliated. And the king said, Stay at Jericho until your beards grow back, then return. When the sons of Ammon saw that they had made themselves repulsive to David, Hanun and the sons of Ammon sent 1,000 talents of silver to hire for themselves chariots and horsemen from Mesopotamia, Aram, Maacah, and Zobah. So they hired for themselves 32,000 chariots, and the king of Maacah and his people, who came and camped opposite Medeba, and the sons of Ammon gathered together from their cities and came to the battle. When David heard about it, he sent Joab and all the army, the mighty men. The sons of Ammon came out and drew up in battle formation at the entrance of the city. And the kings who had come were by themselves in the field. Now when Joab saw that the battle was set against him at the front and at the rear, he selected warriors from all the choice men in Israel, and lined them up against the Arameans, but the remainder of the people he placed under the command of Abishai his brother, and they lined up against the sons of Ammon. And he said, If the Arameans are too strong for me, then you shall help me. But if the sons of Ammon are too strong for you, then I will help you. Be strong, and let's show ourselves courageous, for the benefit of our people, and the cities of our God. And may the Lord do what is good in his sight. So Joab and the people who were with him advanced to battle against the Arameans, and they fled from him. When the sons of Ammon saw that the Arameans had fled, they also fled from his brother Abishai and entered the city. Then Joab came to Jerusalem. When the Arameans saw that they had been defeated by Israel, they sent messengers and brought out the Arameans who were beyond the Euphrates River, with Shophash, the commander of the army of Hadadezer, leading them. When it was reported to David, he gathered all Israel together and crossed the Jordan, and came upon them and drew up in formation against them. And when David drew up in battle formation against the Arameans, they fought against him. And the Arameans fled from Israel. And David killed of the Arameans 7,000 charioteers and 40,000 foot soldiers. And he put Shophash, the commander of the army, to death. So when the servants of Hadadezer saw that they had been defeated by Israel, they made peace with David and served him. So the Arameans were not willing to help the sons of Ammon any more. Then it happened in the spring, at the time when the kings go out to battle, that Joab led out the army and ravaged the land of the sons of Ammon, and came and besieged Rabbah. But David stayed in Jerusalem, and Joab struck Rabbah and overthrew it. David took the crown of their king from his head, and he found it to weigh 1 talent of gold, and there was a precious stone in it, and it was placed on David's head. And he brought out the spoils of the city, a very great amount. He brought out the people who were in it, and put them to work at saws, iron picks, and axes. And David did the same to all the cities of the sons of Ammon. Then David and all the people returned to Jerusalem. Now it came about after this that war broke out at Gezer with the Philistines. Then Sibekai the Hushathite killed Sippai, one of the descendants of the giants, and they were subdued. And there was war with the Philistines again, And Elhanan, the son of Jair, killed Lami, the brother of Goliath the Gittite, the shaft of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. Again, there was war at Gath, where there was a man of great stature, who had 24 fingers and toes, 6 fingers on each hand, and 6 toes on each foot, and he was also descended from the giants. When he taunted Israel, Jonathan the son of Shimeah, David's brother, killed him. These were descended from the giants in Gath, and they fell by the hand of David, and by the hand of his servants. Then Satan stood up against Israel, and incited David to count Israel. So David said to Joab and to the leaders of the people, "Go, count Israel from Beersheba to Dan, and bring me word so that I may know their number." But Joab said, "May the Lord add to his people 100 times as many as they are. My lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why does my lord seek this thing? Why should he be a cause of guilt to Israel?" Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Therefore Joab departed and went throughout Israel, and came to Jerusalem. Then Joab gave the number of the census of the people to David. Israel was 1,100,000 men in all who drew the sword, and Judah was 470,000 men who drew the sword. But he did not count Levi and Benjamin among them, because the king's command was abhorrent to Joab. Now God was displeased with this thing, so he struck Israel. David said to God, "I have sinned greatly by doing this thing. But now, please overlook your servant's guilt, for I have behaved very foolishly." The Lord spoke to Gad, David's seer, saying, "Go and speak to David. This is what the Lord says. I extend to you 3 choices. Choose for yourself one of them, which I will do to you." So Gad came to David and said to him, "This is what the Lord says. Take for yourself 3 years of famine, or 3 months to be swept away before your foes while the sword of your enemies overtakes you, or else 3 days of the sword of the Lord, a plague in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout the territory of Israel. Now, therefore, consider what answer I shall bring back to him who sent me." David said to Gad, "I am in great distress. Please, let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are very great, but do not let me fall into human hands." So the Lord sent a plague on Israel. 70,000 men of Israel fell, and God sent an angel to Jerusalem to destroy it. But as he was about to destroy it, the Lord saw and was sorry about the catastrophe, and said to the destroying angel, "It is enough. Now relax your hand." And the angel of the Lord was standing by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Then David raised his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord standing between earth and heaven, with his drawn sword in his hand, stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders, covered with sackcloth, fell on their faces. And David said to God, "Is it not I who commanded the count of the people? Indeed, I am the one who has sinned and acted very wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Lord, my God, just let your hand be against me and my father's household, and not against your people as a plague." Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David was to go up and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. So David went up at the word of Gad, which he spoke in the name of the Lord. Now Ornan turned back and saw the angel, and his 4 sons who were with him hid themselves. And Ornan was threshing wheat. As David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David, and went out from the threshing floor and prostrated himself to David with his face to the ground. Then David said to Ornan, "Give me the site of this threshing floor, so that I may build on it an altar to the Lord. You shall give it to me for the full price, so that the plague may be brought to a halt from the people." But Ornan said to David, "Take it for yourself, and may my lord the king do what is good in his sight. See, I am giving the oxen for burnt offerings, and the threshing sledges for wood, and the wheat for the grain offering. I am giving it all." Nevertheless, King David said to Ornan, "No, but I will certainly buy it for the full price, for I will not take what is yours for the Lord, nor a burnt offering, which costs me nothing. So David gave Ornan 600 shekels of gold by weight for the site. Then David built an altar there to the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and he called to the Lord. And he answered him with fire from heaven on the altar of burnt offering. The Lord commanded the angel, and he returned his sword to its sheath. At that time, when David saw that the Lord had answered him on the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite, he offered sacrifice there, for the tabernacle of the Lord, which Moses had made in the wilderness, and the altar of burnt offering were on the high place at Gibeon at that time. But David could not go before it to inquire of God, for he was terrified by the sword of the angel of the Lord. Matthew 14. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the news about Jesus, and said to his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He himself has been raised from the dead, and that is why miraculous powers are at work in him. For when Herod had John arrested, he bound him and put him in prison because of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip. For John had been saying to him, 'It is not lawful for you to have her.' Although Herod wanted to put him to death, he feared the crowd, because they regarded John as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday came, the daughter of Herodias danced before them, and pleased Herod, so much that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she asked. And after being prompted by her mother, she said, 'Give me the head of John the Baptist here on a platter.' Although he was grieved, the king commanded it to be given because of his oaths and his dinner guests. He sent word and had John beheaded in the prison. His head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. John's disciples came and took away the body and buried it, and they went and reported to Jesus. Now when Jesus heard about John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a secluded place by himself. And when the people heard about this, they followed him on foot from the cities. When he came ashore, he saw a large crowd, and felt compassion for them, and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, 'This place is secluded, and the hour is already past to eat. Send the crowds away, so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves.' But Jesus said to them, 'They do not need to go. You give them something to eat.' They said to him, 'We have nothing except 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, 'Bring them here to me.' And ordering the crowds to sit down on the grass, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looked up toward heaven. He blessed the food, and breaking the loaves, he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they picked up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 full baskets. There were about 5,000 men who ate, besides women and children. Immediately afterward, he compelled the disciples to get into the boat and to go ahead of him to the other side, while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray, and when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the 4th watch of the night he came to them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, 'It is a ghost.' And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid.' Peter responded and said to him, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come over to you on the water.' And he said, 'Come.' And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened. And when he began to sink, he cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.' Immediately Jesus reached out with his hand and took hold of him and said to him, 'You of little faith, why did you doubt?' When they got into the boat, the wind stopped, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'You are truly God's son.' When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent word into all that surrounding region, and brought to him all who were sick. And they pleaded with him that they might just touch the border of his cloak, and all who touched it were cured. Acts 10, 1 through 22. Now there was a man in Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, and made many charitable contributions to the Jewish people, and prayed to God continually. About the ninth hour of the day, he clearly saw in a vision an angel of God who had just come in and said to him, "Cornelius." And he looked at him intently and became terrified, and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said to him, "Your prayers and charitable gifts have ascended as a memorial offering before God. Now dispatch some men to Joppa, and send for a man named Simon, who is also called Peter. He is staying with a tanner named Simon, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him left, he summoned two of his servants and a devout soldier from his personal attendants. And after he had explained everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. On the next day, as they were on their way and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. But he became hungry and wanted to eat. But while they were making preparations, he fell into a trance, and he saw the sky opened up, and an object like a great sheet coming down, lowered by four corners to the ground. And on it were all kinds of four-footed animals, and crawling creatures of the earth, and birds of the sky. A voice came to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything unholy and unclean." Again, a voice came to him a second time, "What God has cleansed, no longer consider unholy." This happened three times. And immediately the object was taken up into the sky. Now, while Peter was greatly perplexed in mind as to what the vision which he had seen might mean, behold, the men who had been sent by Cornelius had asked directions to Simon's house, and they appeared at the gate, and calling out, they were asking whether Simon, who was also called Peter, was staying there. While Peter was reflecting on the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you. But get up, go downstairs, and accompany them without misgivings, for I have sent them myself." Peter went down to the men and said, "Behold, I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for which you have come?" They said, "Cornelius, a centurion, a righteous and God-fearing man, well spoken of by the entire nation of the Jews, was divinely directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and hear a message from you." Proverbs 6, 1 through 11. My son, if you have become a guarantor for your neighbor, or have given a handshake for a stranger, if you have been ensnared by the words of your mouth, or caught by the words of your mouth, then do this, my son, and save yourself. Since you have come into the hand of your neighbor, go, humble yourself, and be urgent with your neighbor to free yourself. Give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Save yourself like a gazelle from the hunter's hand, like a bird from the hand of the fowler. Go to the ant, you lazy one. Observe its ways, and be wise, which, having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares its food in the summer, and gathers its provision in the harvest. How long will you lie down, you lazy one? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. Then your poverty will come like a drifter, and your need like an armed man. Psalm 12. Help, Lord, for the godly person has come to an end, for the faithful have disappeared from the sons of mankind. They speak lies to one another, They speak with flattering lips and a double heart. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips, the tongue that speaks great things, who have said, with our tongue we will prevail. Our lips are our own. Who is Lord over us? Because of the devastation of the poor, because of the groaning of the needy, now I will arise, says the Lord. I will put him in the safety for which he longs. The words of the Lord are pure words, like silver refined in a furnace on the ground, filtered 7 times. You, Lord, will keep them. You will protect him from this generation forever. The wicked strut about on every side, when the vileness is exalted among the sons of mankind.